Cheddar is a psychopath name. You only name yourself something adorable if you can back it up.
I don't think that's a thing.
That's the thing.
Hello and welcome to episode 112 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies, except today, really. You'll find out why in a minute. I am Perry Nemroff, and here are my co-hosts, Chris Pachko and Angie Han.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
So instead of making our hot topic about a movie, we're going to talk about Lemonade at Christie's request. And then after that, we're going to do our full review of one of the big movies coming out this weekend, Keanu. So first up, hot topic, Lemonade. Christie, have a blast.
Yeah.
To be fair, it is kind of a movie. It's a quote-unquote visual album, which basically means it's a feature-length, or not feature-length, an hour-long music video.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's narrative feature length, so I think of over 40 is, but we won't get into the film nerdiness of that quite this moment. But yeah, Beyoncé came out with a visual album, which I am not, like, hip with music, so basically on Sunday I was emailing people and being like, someone explain Lemonade to me, and they were like, it's a visual album, and I was like, don't say that, like, that's a thing we all know now, because, again, I don't follow music. But yeah, everyone was talking about it. It was on HBO Now, which I have, so I was like, I will watch this. And by minute, like, four, I was completely riveted and resented anything that got in my way of watching it, which was people at my house. So that was awkward. But it's amazing. It's this thing where she has chapters that are named for emotions like anger and apathy and emptiness and forgiveness. And people think that maybe it's actually her talking about that rumored affair that Jay-Z had a couple of years ago and her being angry with him and coming to terms with it and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not as interested in the gossip angle of this as I am with just the visual artistry. She got together a band of filmmakers that include Melina Matsoukas, who did the Formation video we were also crazy about, Khalil Joseph, Dekal Ramash, Todd Torzo, I shouldn't have taken this on, Jonas Åkerlund, and Mark Romanek. Romanek is the only one I knew how to pronounce, and I screwed it up. The point is, these filmmakers did an incredible job. Oh, also Beyoncé directed some segments. I feel like I left that out. And they did this thing where they made things that felt surreal and things that felt like horror movies and things that felt historical. And there's like references to Julie Dash's Daughters in the Dust, and there's references to Casey Lemon's Eve's Bayou, and they use poetry from Warshawn Shire, and I've never seen anything like this before. It's a pastiche, and it's postmodern, and it's beautiful, and it's ugly and angry, and I was completely blown away by Lemonade.
Did I not say, Chris, this is the Christie segment today?
I'm astonished. I feel like I'm incapable of fully explaining.
It's like, I feel like that a speech like that should have been pre-planned, but that just kind of flowed out of you so naturally. Like, you were so genuinely pumped about Lemonade.
Because I was really nervous I'd forget, like, a director's name, or I have notes for all this. It's amazing, though, because she brought together all these different things, like spoken word poetry and music and filmmaking, and she brought in, like, a bunch of different musicians, like Jack White and The Weeknd, and these different musical styles, like there's a country song on here and a hard rock song, and then she brought in like black women who are famous for various things, who like from activism to sports, like Serena Williams is in this, and Amanda Steinberg and Winnie Harlow, and it's just, everyone's been talking about it all week, and we should keep continuing to talk about it because it's so dense with symbolism and with meaning and with discussion. It's just exciting. Like, you know, so many movies come out a year that don't have this level of depth to them that, like, I watched Lemonade again right before we recorded this, and it's breathtaking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not much of a music person, so I don't feel qualified to go too in-depth about what this album is musically, but I am, you know, very much a film person, and when I watched it, it's just, like you said, like, you know, we see a lot of, like, weird little, like, artsy indie movies, and some of them work and some of them don't. And this one really fucking works. Like, I think she does such a good job. She and her team of directors do such a good job of pulling together, like, the different visual, like, it's a bunch of different visual styles. Like, every chapter looks very distinctive, but they all kind of flow together. I feel like I'm not being, like, super specific, but I don't really know how better to explain it. I mean, through it all, there's this, like, kind of theme of just, like, I don't know how much of this is autobiographical, but she does make it feel really raw and really emotional, and I really admire that.
And she also uses home movies, which is very surprising from her. She's a very private, hugely public figure.
Yeah, yeah. One comment I've seen a lot from other film people is that I've seen a lot of people compare it to Terrence Malick, which, like, if you had told me before last weekend, like, oh, Beyonce's gonna put out a movie that's kind of like a Terrence Malick movie but not boring, I'd be like, what?
Full disclosure, I didn't watch all of Lemonade, but I ended up watching about probably 40 minutes of it. And
okay, did you get past the part where she's mad and into the part where she's like,
Okay. Yeah, I did.
I don't know if I appreciated it
as like one big whole piece. Also because I'm just not really into that kind of stuff. I mean, you guys know me at this point. I like straightforward story and, specific things in my media. And I appreciated this more so as small music videos. It's like my attention kept, like, I kept being drawn into it and then falling back out of it and kind of like checking my phone, you know?
Oh,
like
interesting. Okay.
Certain sections, I was completely mesmerized. Like when she's bashing shit with the baseball bat.
Yes! That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Which is like the second section, but it's just, it's.
I was really into that. And when it faded out of that segment and rolled into the next one, I caught myself, checking the watch, thinking about how hungry I was. And then all of a sudden, a song would catch my ear, and I'd be really
into
it.
While you were also getting stuff done.
I know.
Yeah, we've sprung this on Perry kind of late notice, and I was like, it's 57 minutes long, fine time.
Cool. Well, we should wrap up soon, but Christy, do you have a favorite segment or favorite song or favorite moment you want to highlight?
I think everything in Hold Up, which is the one you're seeing all the footage of with her in the yellow dress, is so strong and so fascinating. And I just, it's amazing. Like, I'm excited that HBO is submitting this for an Emmy, which is exciting because I feel like this is a medium that doesn't know how to get awards yet. So that's an exciting possibility. But I love this.
Is that the baseball bat one?
Yes.
Okay.
Her baseball bat hot sauce.
I'm with you. I dig that one too.
Yeah. I think one of the images that really struck with me was the one where she's just like sitting in this like large space and there's just flames all around her.
Yes.
That one. I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember off the top of my head which song that is. Do you remember?
It's toward the end, but I don't remember which one. I'm still learning the songs.
I think it's in the middle.
But I have to say, this is actually, it's the first thing I've been.
Is this going to be your new Hamilton?
I actually have been listening to it. In place of Hamilton, which like
it's the internet's new Hamilton, and Christy is not the only person that I have heard say, "Oh, I only stopped listening to the Hamilton album repeatedly so that I could listen to Lemonade repeatedly."
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's actually really similar because they both take a genre you think you know and do something new with it, but tell you this really bold story. Like every time I listen to Lemonade, I feel like I'm hearing a story completely, and it's very exciting. But we really should move on because we want to talk about Keanu. But yeah, I would say absolutely, absolutely. Go watch Lemonade. You can buy it on iTunes. Now, the thing is, you have to pay $17.99 because you're buying the whole album and the film, but it's completely worth it because this is just phenomenal. Like, I was never really a Beyonce fan. I didn't have anything against her. Just her music wasn't my jam. I'm completely converted to the Church of Bay. I'm on board.
Well, let me point out that, for $17.99, you can listen to it and not subscribe to Tidal, which nobody wants to do.
It's also on Pandora now, but I don't think you can watch the videos on Pandora.
Bummer.
All right, moving on now for something much more my speed. We are going to review the movie Keanu. And if you know anything about any of us, not really Christy,
don't
but
call
me and Angie.
Out for not being a cat person.
I will point out that we all know Christy is a Key and Peele person, even if she's
okay,
there you go.
Fair.
Person.
But seriously, we're talking about a cat movie. You knew we were going to call you out at some point this podcast.
Christy doesn't like cats.
So
first off,
not
I'm
only
allergic.
Is,
so, like,
not only
I get
does
a half
Keanu.
Pass.
Not only does Keanu have a super cute kitten in it, but it also has the best IMDb synopsis. Friends hatch a plot to retrieve a stolen kitten by posing as drug dealers for a street gang.
You know that old chestnut.
Super simple, and it's pretty accurate. It stars Key and Peele, and Peele is super sad at the beginning of the movie, and then he gets this really adorable kitten that he names Keanu, and it's supposed to be a bit of a spoof on the movie. On the movie John Wick with Keanu Reeves, where, he avenges the death of his puppy, but here their kitten is stolen and then they have to get it back. And, I mean, cute kitten, funny comedy. I was totally into it. And as a kitten lover, I was really worried that walking into this movie, I was only going to want kitten and that every time the kitten wasn't on screen, I would be like, ugh, can't
you actually said that
again?
Repeatedly as we were walking in.
Yeah.
I was genuinely worried about that too.
I wanted I wanted 90 minutes of Cute Kitten. I mean, who wouldn't want that? But much to my surprise, I really did enjoy Key and Peele quite a bit. And part of the reason I like their humor,
show, right?
I don't. And it's not like I walked in expecting not to like them, because I wasn't really
that
aware of what they do. But I found the two of them incredibly likable and funny. And most of the time with, I mean, I don't want to broadly say comedians, but there are a lot of comedians out there that have, you know, certain kind of humor I tend to lose my patience with stand-up and improv. There's just something about it that I'm not all that into. So I kind of expected to have that same reaction to Key and Peele. But the two of them are really freaking funny in this, and they also come across as human beings, which I really appreciated in the context of the story.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of their show, which was called Key and Peele, and now sadly is done, and so on the plus side, they're making movies. On the downside, no more Key and Peele. But their comedy was always so combination of goofy and satirical in a way that I found really exciting and funny. And so I wanted to see how they bring that to the mainstream. And I've seen some people criticize this film for not being as sharp or satirical as their TV show. But I kind of feel like obviously not. Like, their TV show is playing to a much smaller audience. This is playing to a broader audience. This is more like their valet characters, which people probably know if you don't watch the show from at least the internet. They're the GIFs of the guys running around getting all excited about mispronouncing action hero names. And I think it plays really well as them as friends. I think it plays really well as them being kind of outsiders into this, like, street life that they're trying to pretend that they're a part of so they can get the cat back. And I think that they brought on Peter Atencio, who was a director on the show, to direct this movie, and he has such a great eye for comedy. Like, it's ridiculous how much a slow-mo kitten running through, like, action scenes is just perfect comedy.
Why is that surprising?
I'm not one of those people that's like, look, it's a kitten doing literally anything. Like, I was won over. I really liked Keanu the kitten. I even was going, oh, when they show him, because they got, like, the cutest damn cats in the world to play that cat.
You on to the gym. I can turn you on to kittens, too.
That's the weirdest goddamn thing about South by Southwest, is that is what got me to get a gym membership. Like, what the hell? Anyway, that's a side that we don't need to get into that. But yeah, Keanu, like, it's smart about kind of the kind of movie it is, and it's satirical about kind of the attitudes within, but it's also really just silly. So you don't need to know Key and Peele at all to enjoy this movie, clearly, because Perry didn't.
Well, I don't think the idea, I mean, I think that if it was a movie that you had to know Key and Peele for it to succeed, then it wouldn't be a very good movie, because it's not like Key and Peele the movie, it's just Key and Peele being together. And I have seen a lot of people kind of complain that it's like, oh, they were expecting like a really like razor sharp satire about like political issues and like, you know, racial issues and whatnot. And it doesn't have that edge, but I think that's fine. I don't think that's what they were really aiming for here.
Most of the negative reactions I've heard is that it's not enough kitten.
That's funny. I did see one review out of South By that was like claiming that it bombed at South By, which
we saw that together. It was actually one of the first reviews that went up.
But like the theater was roaring.
I mean, that's definitely a very false statement that it bombed, because even if you do look at most of the reviews, I mean, most of them are pretty positive. Some of them are lukewarm, but it most certainly did not bomb in any respect.
No, people were freaking out.
It seems like the general reception now that it's finally coming out in theaters is pretty positive.
Yeah, I actually kind of want to go again because I'm curious. When they showed it to us at South By, they were like, this is a work in progress. Okay, what that means is if you guys don't laugh, we're going to recut it. But then people laughed a lot, so I'm not sure what they recut, if they recut anything.
Did you not see it again either?
I didn't get a chance to, no.
I wanted to go so badly again last night, but you know the LA lifestyle, I couldn't justify driving an hour to get there.
Oh my god, is this all we're gonna hear about now? Guys,
yeah,
really. Driving.
Guys, I have to take the blah 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 to the blah blah.
I went on the subway the
Clearly
other day.
I don't know how to drive around yet.
He sat on me. A man sat on me on the subway so he could take my seat. And it worked because I didn't want to be sat on, so I just got up and walked away. Let's not compare.
What are we talking about again? Cute kittens.
We lost the trail. Kittens!
In addition to, as I expected, liking the kitten, and also, which I didn't expect to like as much, Key and Peele, I also really dug the group of thugs that they end up working with, which one of them was, what's his face, from from Straight Outta Compton,
Jason Mitchell.
Jason Mitchell. I really liked him. I really liked the actress that played Hi C, and that whole transition with them and how they wedged their way in. I really appreciated that.
I also want to give a shout out to Daryl Britt Gibson because he's on You're the Worst, a shit stain, and he's hilarious in this too.
Wait, who?
The guy who played Trunk in Keanu. He was shit stain on You're the Worst. One of the, like, guys that hangs out with the rapper dude.
Oh my god. I knew that guy looked familiar. You could, like, see on my face, like, me, like, processing.
It doesn't help that I'm, like,
familiar, but I couldn't place
shit stain to Trunk. Like, they're, you know, they're both purposely ridiculous names. But yeah, he's great in this too. Very funny. There's just a lot of good stuff in this movie. And there's some cameos I don't want to talk about. But that at South by,
there's
I was
one
very
in particular
by.
That I thought was the funniest thing. And at first, it was more along the lines of, "Oh, I don't know how this is going to work. It's stupid." And then all of a sudden, they hit this point where they just drop a joke, and I just like bust out laughing.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's like, I mean, because it's like part of it is like, "Oh, they're in Hollywood, so let's meet a celebrity." And the celebrity they choose, you're like, "What?" And then it's just hilarious. I don't know. I'm very happy with this. It's like, I understand the criticism that it's not as, like, daring as the TV show. But to me, it's the same thing with when, you know, when Amy Schumer went from Inside Amy Schumer to Trainwreck. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, Trainwreck was tamer than her show because she was, you know, showing herself to a broader audience. So it's a different platform. So, like, maybe if they want to do another movie, they can make it racier. But, like, that's not what this movie was about. And I think that's fine. I think it's still really funny. I think it's still really surprising. And, you know, it's one of the better cop, like, or not, I guess not buddy cop, because they're not cops, but, like, one of the better buddy action crime movies that I've seen in the past several years.
Yeah. I mean, and similarly, I also really understand the complaint about there not being enough Cat too, because really, if you add up the minutes, maybe the Cat's only in it and featured for 10 minutes. They're talking about the Cat most of the time, which might have been a problem if the rest of the movie wasn't any good. But like Christy pointed out, the crime element of it is really effective. So even though Keanu isn't front and center from start to finish, as I would have preferred, it's still a great film.
I mean, it was something that when the movie started, I was like kind of worried about, because the kitten is so fucking cute that every time it showed up, I wanted to just like stand up and cheer. So then like when the kitten started being in it less and less, I got worried. But like then like at some point in the middle of the movie, I was like, wait, we haven't even seen the cat for a really long time and I'm still enjoying this. Imagine that. And I think a lot of it has to do with, I mean, like the plot is basically like paper thin. And it's not like, you know, as we pointed out, it's not like, it doesn't have anything super deep to say, but I think so much of it just comes from the fact that Key and Peele just work really well together. Like they're good friends who've been working together for a long time. And I think that really like pays off here because they just have such good comic chemistry that it's like, you could just watch them sit in a car and like mock each other. Like there's like this one chip they get into a car where they're talking about like who was bullied worse. And it's just like, it's so dumb, but it's just like something that's just, it works really well because they are just so fun to watch together. And it's just because they're so good together.
Something I'd like to see, I want to see this movie succeed. And then if and when it does, I'd like to see them do something like Coming to America or something where like Eddie Murphy played a bunch of characters within the film, because we know from the show they could totally do that. And that'd be an incredible thing to watch.
I'm curious to see if this gets funnier every time I watch it.
I don't know if it gets funnier, but I bet the cat gets cuter.
Oh, man. Speaking of, we just had a cat cameo.
I was going to say, I was waiting for it.
Dewey's tail was like, fuck you bitches.
Yeah, he's just walking back and forth. He doesn't like that I'm in an office all day and not attending to his every want and need.
I know that this isn't like, this shouldn't be that like, okay, I'm not about to make any grand pronouncement, but, like, the cat they picked is really fucking cute, and what I didn't expect going to the movie is how much of the plot depends on you buying that this cat is so cute that people will do literally anything to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I knew that it was a movie about a guy getting back his cat, but I didn't realize just how integral it is to the movie that you also are just head over heels in love with the cat, and he did a great job of just, like, shooting the cat in slow motion, like you guys are saying, and stuff like that. That's one thing that I liked about this movie. I feel like a lot of comedies kind of have, like, really serviceable camera work, where it's fine. But I feel like this one was shot pretty artistically compared to a lot of goofy comedies. Sorry.
I
can't even finish the sentence because
Dewey just literally
was just walking back and forth. His cat butt was in my face. I don't appreciate that. But actually, what you said is really important when you think about it, because part of the reason that the movie works so well for cat lovers is because it respects the fact that everybody loves cats. It's like the most unlikely characters in
Christy
this movie.
Has the most guilty look when you said everybody loves cats.
Need that cat though.
No, I like that cat. I actually get it because it was like they would be talking. Like, there's one part where they're arguing with like a very dangerous man that they should have the cat, and he looks at them like, "Do you know who I am?" And then they just cut to the cat, and you're like, "I get it. I get potentially getting shot in the face by this guy over this
cat.
I would get shot
in the face for Dewey.
Well, we know that, but like, I feel like it's impressive that like you two are easy sells on this. Like, you hear there's a kitten, you're like, well, let's go see that movie. But like, I didn't, you know, when I saw the trailer for Keanu, I was excited because I thought it was really funny, and I thought it was so ludicrous. And I sent it to Perry, and her response was, "Oh my god, kitten." So I feel like the
what
fact
did
that
think the response is going to be, if you were surprised by that, that's on you.
I know, that's I think you're right, but I
you guys, future review. We have to review Nine Lives now, the one where Kevin Spacey plays a cat.
I genuinely do want to review that, though.
All right, done. But I mean, I think this is interesting because basically, I know Angie's watched the show and Angie loves cats. Perry loves cats and has not watched their show. I love their show, don't give a shit about cats. And all three of us quite like this movie.
Because Key and Peele are in it and also a cat. Wow. What a magical secret formula for appealing to both Key and Peele.
Well, I feel like that's going to be most people. Based on the internet, it seems everyone except for me likes cats.
That is correct. You're a monster.
Cute kitten should be the new reshoot. Like, if your movie sucks and you have to do reshoots, just forget it. Just put a cute kitten in it and you could sell anything.
I was laughing the other day because they were interviewing Key and Peele on the Today Show, which, as you know, I watch religiously. And they had surrounded them all with just kittens at, like, a kitten playground. And so the entire interview, they're just, like, dangling stuff for kittens and kittens are jumping around. And I was like, this is...
It's like
the
my dream
weirdest thing. It was kind
if
of amazing
that was
and brilliant.
The Today Show every day, I would watch it religiously too.
That should be a new talk show. Just like any old person. Just
I feel
put
like it probably
a,
is.
Put them on
Japan.
A couch with a lot of kittens, and I'll watch it.
I mean, they have kitten cafes in Japan. There's probably a TV show in Japan where someone just talks to you while kittens are running around.
Or you can just go on YouTube for 5 seconds and Google kittens.
Or we should completely retool this podcast. I will get a hazmat suit.
Popcorn, Prosecco, and kittens.
It basically
that
is
easy.
Already. But we should
I know,
wrap
pretty
up.
Much. All right, yeah. So I think the general consensus is yay kittens, yay Key and Peele.
Yay lemonade.
All right, that too. All right. So I think that is a wrap on episode 112 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You know what to do. Please go to iTunes where you can rate and subscribe to the podcast. You can visit our website, popcornprosecco.com. We are on Twitter at popcornprosecco, and please like us on Facebook as well. And then you can catch all three of us all over the internet too. Christy, do you want to take it first today?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Christy Puchko. That's KRISTYPUCHKO. And I write all over the interweb, but you can find my career highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And you can catch my writing on collider.com, and my Twitter handle is PNemiroff. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Oh my god, that's the cutest cat I've ever seen in my life.